Let's join in prayer together. Help us, O God, not only to be alert, but to know that your call to us is a call for new ways and new hopes and new perspective. Amen. It's been said that a human baby is perhaps the most vulnerable of all animals or all creatures born in the world. It needs help, it needs nurture, it needs protection and care, not only in the first year, but for years on thereafter. And it's also been said that newborns know very little, even compared to other animals. They know how to eat, and to use a polite word, they know how to defecate, and they do both of them generally real well. And after a certain period of time, when we grow up, we learn about the world in which we live. We go to school, and we find that the world that we live in is defined by what we find others doing in that world. Their world becomes our world, and their reality becomes our reality, and we call that world in which we live human culture. And there are moments in our lives that become turning points for us, special, important events that give us a new way of looking at our lives and our world. And we wake up and we realize that the world that we knew at the time actually has some boundaries set up to it, even though we may not have realized that before. We wake up and we realize that what we called the world has boundaries. And we realize that that world with these boundaries is what we would probably call our neighborhood, or our family, or our convictions. People like us. The values that we thought were universal, the things we thought that everybody had shared together, we realize are not that way. Therese, who is our AFS daughter from Sweden, now with a husband and two children, once had a conversation with me when I was talking about a wedding that I was getting ready for in another church. And we talked about weddings in Sweden. And she said that her parents would be angry with her, would be upset with her, if she didn't live with her future husband before they actually got married. And while most parents at the time that I spoke with Therese in the United States probably are, maybe of them would be sort of, didn't really care one way or the other as long as their child was happy, in Sweden it was very different. She said it wasn't just a matter of her parents, it was a matter of almost most parents. A great bulk of parents in Sweden would want their child to live with their prospective spouse or partner before they actually got married. And that was just a different way of looking at the same reality from a different culture. And it was one of those conversations that made me look at the world in a very different way. Our world has set up certain expectations for us. Things that a person normally does in life. There's a certain point at which one goes to school, and after school, one finds a job or a work or career, and then maybe finds a life partner, maybe has children, maybe not, and life goes on from there. And that's sort of what is a kind of an agreed to scenario for the great bulk of people in life. And everyone around you has kind of agreed that this is sort of the way of looking at life and the way it's always been. And probably they think the way it always will be. So my question for you today is, who qualifies as your everyone? People, for example, who are maybe professors of classics at a university, maybe they don't hobnob with race car drivers from NASCAR or know them very well. Maybe a custodian does not hobnob very much with, a gangster. There are certain groups of people that just, they're in different worlds. They have different experiences and they have different circles of friends. But perhaps, sometime or other, and I think this happens to most of us at some time, you read a book, or you go to a movie, or a concert, maybe you travel to a different place, maybe a far-off place, or at least a country other than your own. Maybe you spend one of those long evenings in a conversation that reveals something about that other person and you share of your own life, and that you find that their lives are so completely different than yours, and you get the possibility, the glimpse of something very different from your own. Not good, not bad, just something very different than your own. And you learn that there are others who don't always follow life and don't have the same expectations of life as your own. And they don't have the same parameters or same boundaries on life that you have. They have different ones, different than yours. Moments like those, moments when we find ourselves in a completely different world or different understanding of a world, is what today's reading from Mark's gospel is all about. A Jew who would occasionally come to services where I served told me something that I think I already knew in my head, but he put it in words that kind of created a bond for us at that point thereafter. And he said, "Scott, we Jews and you Christians are not all that different from each other. We Jews are still looking for that Messiah to come for the first coming, the first advent of the Messiah. And you Christians are looking for the Messiah, his second coming. And other than that, we're looking for the same thing, but we just have different timings involved. That is who we're preparing for, this Messiah, this first Sunday of Advent. And this first Sunday of Advent calls us to look at that Messiah, not necessarily in the usual places, not necessarily with the same terminology, the same outlook on this world. As a matter of fact, in Mark's gospel today, Jesus is asking us to look for that coming of the Messiah from out of the blue, coming into our world, and from a completely different perspective than we would normally expect to see. Then came that Messiah, from a different place. He was strange, the way that he dressed, the way that he looked, the way that he talked. You could tell that Messiah was not one of us. He spoke of a world yet to be, a world free, a world open and even wild. He called us to slip away from the world in which we live now, the grip of the status quo and the way things are and always have been in our lives, and he invites us to take up a journey. He calls over to us, looking over his shoulder. He says to us, "Follow me. Follow me. Go forth to only God knows where, but follow me." And just about everyone, 9 out of 10, 19 out of 21, really did not have any interest in following that Messiah. Matter of fact, a lot of those people hated him. And they rallied around him and they tried to beat him and whip him and even nail him to wood because they scared him so much. And yet, on some late nights, in the darkness of our homes and in the darkness of our world, and then in darkness of our even our hopes, there is, he says, some surprising light to be offered in a way that we would have never dreamt before. And we awake from that dream in a kind of a shudder, because there is darkness, but in that darkness is a voice. A voice that still calls to you and to me, follow me. Be a disciple of mine. So come, he says, let the old world die. Let all of the expectations and the things that you thought were the only, the normal things to do, let that be set aside, and maybe you can take a new and different path. I offer to you news. News that is good. Come, follow me. Friends, Advent is not a predictable time of the year when we roll out all of the Christmas stories and all of the decorations and set themselves up, and just a retelling of the story that we all kind of know already. Advent is also about the possibility of a change, or a dramatic change, a cataclysmic change, a transformation to a new heaven and a new earth, a new church, a new us. My friends, Advent is calling us to something different, just as Jesus calls those who follow him to look at the possibilities of him coming not just once, but in our lives and in our world in a completely new and different way. Wake up. Smell the coffee. God is with us. Amen.